This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Live Love Memphis Group at the Real Estate Agency is here to help you out. It can be a very intimidating process trying to sell your home, list your home, go through all of that. You don't want to do it yourself. You want a team that has the experience that not only can market your home, but in turn help you make the most money for your home. Help you determine which are the best offers, maybe give you some cash offers. That's what they specialize in. So if you want some help and you're ready to take the jump, reach out. SoldToLiveLoveMemphis.com.
625-5200 is the number you need to know. That's Jennifer Carstensen's number. You can call her or anybody on that fantastic team she's got. April Darnell's one of my favorites as well. They helped me out 4 years ago. You should know the story by now. If you don't, it's kind of unbelievable because I didn't think I'd ever be able to sell that house. Thought I'd have to do a ton. And she corrected me, thankfully. Didn't have to do nearly as much as I thought. We got it out on the market. We sold it for exactly what she said we would. Then she helped us find our dream home. My wife and I, forever indebted to Jennifer Carstensen. And listen, she wants to show you, especially you first-time homebuyers, the pathway to home ownership. That's her mission. She'll do it for you, but you can't do it unless you call 625-5200, 625-5200. They are the best. Give them a chance. Email them at sold@livelovememphis.com. It's the Live Love Memphis and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Memphis basketball got a quarterfinal game a little bit later today. Opened at 4, all the way up to Memphis minus 5.5, Jason. So this number has ballooned like China up to 5.5, which feels like a big number. Feels like a big number.
Real big.
But.
Real big.
I mean, Central Florida damn near lost to SMU yesterday, so I guess that is taken into some consideration that UCF maybe is not nearly the team that we thought they were.
Taylor Hendricks is that dude.
He is. He is.
As you've schooled me on, he's like a lottery pick.
But they're mid everywhere else on the court for the most part.
The CJ kid. What's his name? Whatever. He's decent.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Philadelphia Eagle safety.
Oh, like Kelly or something. CJ Kelly or something like that.
CJ Kelly, yep. I'm familiar with CJ Kelly for sure, dude. I think this is obviously – look, Memphis is in. Memphis is in. They're in the tournament.
They lost because you're not taking this game seriously enough.
Well, here's the thing. Memphis is in. And a loss is not even the worst thing in the world because it'll put you on the 10 line. It'll lock you into the 10, and you'll be a 7-10 playing a 2 if you win. You're not going to be in Dayton, all right? You're not even close to the bubble right now if you look at Lenardi's latest bracketology. At worst, it's a quad 2 loss and a neutral. It's just not going to kill you. I mean, it's not going to be ideal. And, you know, some galaxy-brained college basketball bracketologists might say something to the effect of, well, Memphis might be. But no. I mean, Memphis is, even if they lose today, they'll be 23-9. They'll have a very solid quad 1 and quad 2 record. And, you know, there just aren't enough teams on the bubble who have a resume that's better than Memphis's. Texas A&M was a nice win. Auburn was a nice win, you know. I mean, Memphis beat the SEC 4 times. That Vandy win continues to look better and better and better as the season goes on. So Memphis is in, man. It's not really even a question at this point. And, you know, yeah, it'd be great if they won, and I think they will. But my point is, even if they lose, they're in. So there's really nothing to fear. There's nothing to sweat here. You know, if you want to put a Jay Smoove unit on Memphis minus 5.5, brother, you feel free to do that. But that's going to be the only sweating done tonight.
I'm not doing it. these games have been decided by 4 points.
Yeah.
UCF.
Even the one in Memphis?
One here. What is that, DeMaria? And the layup
the game
over
winner. That's right.
Point here.
Kidder Davis got hurt.
3-point game, double overtime down there.
Well,
for whatever reason, it's just been tight with these dudes.
Well, okay, so here's what I would say. Here's if I'm trying to make the case.
They will not lose to Tulane a third time in the season. What's your feeling right now? I have no concern about Tulane semi. Because that's Penny's not letting the same team beat him 3 times.
Right.
It's this one.
Right.
That scares me.
Well, okay.
But you have made a great case because even Palm's got him up to an 8 now. I wouldn't look where you're talking. Lenardi's got him 9.
You're in.
You make a great case that you're not sweating. You're not talking playing if you lose.
No. You're in.
So that's good to have out there.
Yeah. So I will make allow me to make the case for 5.5.
Ken Palm got 3-point guy.
The case for 5.5 is this. They were up 10. As 1.5-point underdogs at UCF.
Oh, this is some of that Houston Memphis math you were doing.
All right, let me just get here. And I was right. I was right on that, right? I ended up being the number wasn't right, but
you were
the outcome,
not right about what Vegas would have.
But my metrics were on the money though. Were they not? Was that game a pick 'em? It was a pick 'em.
They You're were talking up, about how it ended, dude.
They were up 5 with 3 minutes left.
Just give us this math.
All right. So Memphis loses in double overtime by, I believe, 3 as 1.5-point underdogs, despite having a 10-point lead with 4 minutes left in the game.
It haunts me.
Fast forward to the game in Memphis. They're rolling. They're rolling, and they look like they're going to blow UCF out of the building.
Yeah, they were up at half pretty big.
And then Kendrick Davis gets hurt at the end of the first half. And it ended up being 9, but they were up way more than that before Kendrick Davis got hurt. Mm-hmm. So he gets hurt, changes everything for Memphis. On the fly, mind you, right? Not even like you had time to prepare. On the fly, you still find a way to win the game. All right, so take all that into consideration. And I think what this number is telling you and what the market believes and what I believe is that when Memphis has its dudes, it is a 2-possession or more gap in quality. And I believe that. I mean, UCF's finish here, what are they, like 17-13 this season? I mean, they are very, very mediocre.
Win 3 of the last 4 here.
Yeah, I mean against SMU and
Tulsa, East Carolina, SMU lost to Temple by 2.
Okay, we're talking about the school of the blind and deaf, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's who they've beaten up on to get to 17, and they were down to SMU late yesterday. So I think the only play on this game for me is Memphis. Now that doesn't mean I'm going to play it because I don't love the idea of Memphis being up 7. With 45 seconds left, and then UCF comes down and hits a stupid 3, and Memphis doesn't get the cover, right? So I'm not in love with that. But I have very little doubt about Memphis winning this game. I just think they're better. They're a better team than UCF. Should have won in Orlando. This should have been a sweep in the regular season. And I don't think they're going to play around with their food tonight. I mean, if you wanted to play UCF as a side, which I'm getting the inclination from you over there without saying that you do, I do think the angle to explore would indeed be the first half.
I don't need your help.
Because
I've already given that to you.
What happens is,
don't take my tip.
Right, over the course of a game, over 40 minutes, talent eventually separates.
I need more than that 2.5, though.
Yeah, well, that's all you're going to get because it's a first half, you know?
Yep.
It's a first half.
I'd feel comfortable if it was plus three and a half.
Because really, when you're making a first half bet, like, really what you're saying is, like, all right, just give me, like, a 8-0 run at some point, and I'll probably cover that, most likely.
Well, yesterday I was banking on Arizona State's played, USC has not, and so you bank on slow start from USC first half because Arizona State had to get through the first round.
And in that situation.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and honestly, I would say that those two are a bit similar in terms of situational. USC knows it's in no matter what. Memphis knows it's in no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
UCF's only path to a tournament is by beating Memphis and staying alive in this conference tournament. So you got to think.
They played yesterday. That's what I'm just saying. Got a little bit better on the depth perception. And
Memphis,
all that stuff,
and Memphis is coming off of a heartbreaker, right?
See, slow start.
That's another part of that. Memphis is, I know it's been forever, but Memphis is coming off of an absolute gut punch in that loss to Houston. So the best punch UCF can throw is coming in the first 20 minutes. It is.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know what it's going to look like. It may bounce right off of the Tigers. But the best punch they have is coming in the first half. And so if this is a situation where Maybe UCF's up by a couple buckets. You know, that wouldn't shock me either. That would not shock me in the slightest bit. But I do think at some point Memphis's talent and veteran leadership via DeAndre Williams and Kendrick Davis, you know, in these spots, I think that's going to reveal itself. And even though you and I feel like Memphis is in and kind of know Memphis is in, I'm sure Penny is not expressing that, right? I'm sure Penny is telling them, hey, we're not in. So if you think that.
I would, just even if I didn't believe right. myself, yeah.
Yeah, because you just don't give anybody any.
Well, you don't want them feeling like USC, to your point. We're already in, and we go out right. there, we're lax against a team that played yesterday.
Don't leave.
That's how you get down early.
Don't leave it up to the judges, right, kind of a thing.
That sees down to 9.15 at Bracket Matrix. So.
Yeah, so you're in. Like, no matter what, you're in. But yeah. but again, don't leave it up to the judges. You win this one, there is no question that there is no question about it. You aren't in the NCAA tournament because you got the 24 wins.
I hate 8-9, though.
Yeah, you'll
it
be in
like
a
destiny now.
Yeah, you'll be an 8-9 for sure. I think if you win today, unless you win the conference tournament. I mean, at that point, maybe you get up to 7.
To the 7.
I think that's possible.
Paul's got you 8-9. NC State's the 9. You're the 8 going against Purdue. In the second round.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be fun.
Let's check on.
Matt Painter does like to lose, though, in the tourney, doesn't he?
Oh, it's his favorite pastime. Let's see what our friends are doing in the Houston game.
They were. Houston's like 29-23 last I looked.
29-23 is your score. 15:46 left in the second half. Unfortunately, it looks like our upset bid is going to fall 20 minutes short. Like more like 18, yeah. like 22 minutes short, because we had the lead with like a minute to go in the first half.
Who would you rather see as the one, Purdue or UCLA? Is that an easy answer, Purdue?
No, UCLA, because they lost Jalen Clark.
Oh, that's right. The guy, great defender, too.
Yeah. Yep. I'd rather see UCLA. So,
because before that, that's what? You were high on UCLA.
Yes.
You changed your answer because of Jalen.
He's their best defender. Yeah. You know what I mean? No. Like, that's a huge loss for them. So it's Purdue. I mean, it's UCLA. But I think Memphis is – look.
I like Kendrick and the Tiger matchup up top,
like
the two point guards.
I worry about
– Jaime would do in DeAndre, I fear.
Well, I think it would be funny to watch how Memphis defended Zach Edey. Like, I that image would be funny. Like, what would they do? Who they put? They got to get KO in there. You got to put KO in there,
that won't
bro.
Last 2 minutes.
Get KO in there.
Literally will not last 2 minutes.
So who
against
you finna put on him there, bro?
We're going between Dandridge and DeAndre. We're going to have to switch it up a
Chandler.
Little bit.
Chandler.
We'll get
Chandler
see some
action.
Time, too, with them long arms.
So KO don't get no crack at Edey?
He'll get a crack. I would. I'd give him a crack.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best weapon
you
got.
All your bodies, because they force
that's
feed
what,
him.
That's what.
And guys will be in foul trouble.
That's what Penny doesn't want to say out loud.
What?
But it's what he's been plotting on.
What?
He's hiding KO, and he's going to deploy him like a hypersonic missile.
Okay, it's time to
when
go
it's
break.
The Purdue.
What you got in that Diet Coke order? Got a little sauce in there?
Just get ready.
Yeah.
Penny going to unveil the new and improved KO.
improved by Joey or the work with Joey Dorsey
yeah,
this season.
Yeah.
Man, get up out of here.
Stop sleeping, bro. Wake up. Stay woke. Anthony Sands is going to join us when we come back. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies' win last night, get his thoughts on the rest of the season. What does it change, if anything? All that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Co-host of Grind Season. It's an Odyssey podcast. You can get on the free Odyssey app twice per week. Got an edition out for you right now. He's also the winningest box hockey champion in Pine Hill Community Center Day Camp history. Don't you ever forget that part. You can follow him on Twitter at Sane Asylum. He joins us now. Sane, best thing about last night's win of the Golden State Warriors was?
Man, just getting a win, man. Like, you had opportunities to have another fourth quarter meltdown. You know, you got some home cooking, slept in their own beds last night. I mean, the night before. Just a good win against a team that you're there's been a lot of debate on whether it's a rivalry or not, talking about whether it's a rivalry or not. Well, a team that you at least think is a rival, a team that you feel a way about. You got a big win against them. You thought you would have shut some mouths up, but Draymond Green immediately he potted last night, right? Yeah. So yeah. He still did his thing. But yeah, it was just to get a win, man. Like we were in a 3-game losing streak. You pick up a good win, beating them from bell to bell. Yeah, just a good game.
You and I have been critical. Many others have been mm-hmm. critical of Dylan Brooks, especially here of late. What did you think of his game, his response to Draymond Green sort of setting the stage with the podcast, game last night?
He's still Dylan Brooks. I mean, I'm not going to raise everything I think about him because of that one game. It was good to see him do that, though, man. Because
that's what I said. You still got saluted. Yeah, I'm still in the same boat as you.
He was on his ass. Draymond was on his ass, you know what I'm saying, yesterday. So for him to come back and answer the bell, shout out to Dylan for sure. And he did in a big way. He still, was erratic as hell shooting the ball, but defensively and just the defensive plays he was making and just being just an adjutant, man, which is at the end of the day, man, Dylan Brooks is a good to great level defender,
mm-hmm.
but he's an elite level just like agitator, and it goes wrong a lot. We talk about that too, how a lot of times he wakes up guys that were asleep and his agitating goes really wrong. But when it works, it looks very good to see guys who just really just can't deal with him when he gets to, doing Dylan Brooks type stuff.
I'm going to say that I can't believe let Draymond, hold his face and let him slide that arm down.
That was so hilarious, bro.
The discipline it takes to not push dude up off you in that instance. It was just all that slime on your nose.
Yeah, man, it was hilarious when those guys got face-to-face yesterday for sure.
One of the things that we talked about in the beginning of the show was like Draymond's comments afterwards, mm-hmm. and I think everybody on this on this table was in agreement in terms of his takedown of Dylan. It was savage.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, most of it was rooted in truth.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem with Draymond then becomes, okay, bro, you can keep it real about everybody else in the league, but when it comes to your own ish,
yeah, he sounded like a sucker last night.
I think that is so weak.
Yeah, he sounded like a sucker.
Like, because I feel like Draymond, if anybody, like, come on, like, just admit, acknowledge, concede, we got our ass kicked tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did a good job tonight.
Yeah.
Instead, he wants to try to, like, do smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, I wasn't even serious. Not
like, exactly. I wasn't even playing that hard. Like,
yeah, that type of
come
stuff.
Come on,
yeah.
bro. I think that's so weak, don't you?
And the thing is, it's debatable. And I'm fine with both sides of the argument, but whether or not this is an actual rivalry. I mean, whatever. But you two guys clearly feel a way towards each other, which might also be fake, too, because I do subscribe. I grew up on Saturday Morning Wrestling on Channel 5, and I've seen good guys, bad guys, heels, baby faces. And I would not be surprised if Dylan and Draymond really don't feel a way towards each other, but this is just something they're just doing. I could believe that side of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But for Draymond to act like, just to tone it down, play the game like it didn't matter. No, it mattered, bro, for sure. And, you just came on the road and you got handled last night. So, yeah, it matters. And he can downplay it all he wants. But just like I said, like we all said, he got Dylan the other night. Like, it was not debatable. He destroyed Dylan the other night on his podcast. But, no, man, don't come back weak like you came last night.
How concerned should Golden State be about its inability to win on the road, including last night where you got a Grizz team doesn't even have Ja, Steven Adams, and
mm-hmm.
and Brandon? You're 7-26 on the road. That's what the Pistons are on the world, and mm-hmm. they're literally the worst team record-wise in the league. Is that a team that, because of its championship pedigree, you don't worry about the road struggles? We just got to go get, one in a playoff series? Or is it something at this point
mm-hmm.
they clearly haven't figured out that is a true concern for them?
Well, that's a true statement you made. To win the championship, you don't have to win a lot of games on the road to win the championship. You know what I mean? You can go whatever percentage.
I mean, they win last year, though.
I don't know.
Against the Grizzlies. Was it one?
I think they just won that. They won that game one against mm-hmm. us. I know they won that for sure. I can't remember. I think they won one more. Because it seemed like they put us out in Memphis, right?
No, that was in Golden State.
Okay,
Golden State.
Game six is in Golden State. That's right, yeah.
It was 4-2, right?
Memphis. Yeah, they probably just won one. Yep. Yeah. But
they won the first because remember the
right. That's the one back in won. Memphis.
They blew them out. Yeah. The Grizzlies blew them out without Ja. Mm-hmm.
The first one was the one Grizzlies should have won.
Ja had the layup.
Right, and then we won. Yeah, so it was But you don't have to win a ton.
Right,
of road games to win at all. But it is concerning because they. You would have thought yesterday would have been a game where they would have been like balls to the wall, going hard against us.
Having lost seven straight.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Short-handed, and then who it was, damaged you know Grizzlies
what I mean?
Team.
Because they got up for us. They've gotten up for us in every other game, you know what I mean, especially that Christmas Day game. And maybe they, you know, overlooked us or whatever, or, you know, but they're in this point now where they really have – all their games really matter.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to stay out of their play-in.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, so I it is kind of concerning with that team. I don't really know. I can't really put a finger on what it might be. Age, of course, you know, could be all it is. But they're, it is concerning to see how, you know, they came in yesterday and we pretty much beat them. Pretty easily. There were runs where they came in and cut the game close, but it always felt like the Grizzlies were just, you know, a knockout punch away for putting those guys away.
Yeah, so we were talking earlier about, you know, hey, is this a kind of a win that makes you maybe feel a little differently? Well, I mean, it was an avalanche, right?
Right.
So, like, the fact that they could stop that, does it make you feel a different type of way about the Grizzlies, or is it one of those games that makes you feel a different way about the Warriors? Like, where do you come down with that?
Well, for most of the season, I'll say that my optimism about the Grizzlies season is reflective on the rest of the West. And especially seeing Kevin Durant, who's out for like 3 to 4 weeks now, I wouldn't be surprised if the Grizzlies still have a nice playoff run. Like, there's nobody in the West I'm worried about. I just saw us have the Clippers down by almost 20 points on the road.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw us battle Denver, and, you know, there's been small things that we can tighten up. And if you're able to get any version of Steven Adams back for the playoffs, that might be unlikely. That might never happen. He might have surgery to shut the season down. We don't know. But if you get any version of him, plus Ja back, you know what I mean, and with a renewed mind and those type of things, you still got the pieces to make a crazy run in the West. And like I said, winning that game yesterday kind of showed you that when those guys are playing good basketball and when they're playing with confidence and they're playing it with chemistry, it seems like their chemistry started coming back and guys are playing within themselves. That team is still a dangerous team. And like I said, there's no one in the West that I'm, like, terrified of, especially if Phoenix is going to be without KD for a while.
Ja, in terms of when he might return, I don't know if you saw the TMZ had another story on him. John had mentioned this Powerade story about pulling an ad for him from the drum. I'm assuming that this is true. But back to the point and the question, you feel pretty confident that, you know, what kind of timetable do you think we're looking at?
I said he's probably going to be a total of 10 games altogether. I think he's going to do another 4-game bid after this one. I was talking to someone on the way up here, and I saw the TMZ story come out.
About midnight last night.
Ja's kind of operating in immunity right now. I don't know if y'all kind of get that feel. Like, it's kind of like with all the stuff that's going on and like with him going to get help, it's like, I don't think anybody really cares about any stories that come out.
Oh, no, I don't think that's the case.
Especially if
you don't think Powerade beforehand.
It didn't have nothing to do with that TMZ thing that came out, though. I'm just saying, like, once with him where he's at now, like, doing whatever he's trying to do to get himself together, any of these stories that come out, I don't really think people care. Because, like, okay, that happened with the old Ja. It's like, because there's a lot of love and care towards Ja going out right now. There's a lot of people who are concerned about him. And, like, go do what you got to do, 12. Come, take your time. Come back whenever you want. And I think when people hear stories about stuff that he did now, people are like, okay, that's why he's doing what he's doing now. So, okay, whatever. And I saw the story today. I didn't read it at all. I read the head because it's probably something I've already heard before. You know what I mean? We've had this conversation. Memphis is a big, small town. So then there's, you know, there's a thing called Black Memphis where in Black Memphis you kind of hear stuff. So that's – I ain't read the details of it, but
well, I mean, it's
one of the John Morant stories.
It's more of the same.
Yeah, exactly. So
I think it does matter. I think the reason it matters is because it's one more story that the Grizzlies knew about
that they didn't deal with. And I heard people talking about, man, it's kind of telling that Jenkins came out and said that they keep stuff, you know, close to the hip or whatever. But I'm not surprised to hear them do that because of some of the criticism they're getting. He probably was told, look, when you go out there, let people know that we've known everything Ja's had going on. We tried to, and this was the final straw or whatever. That's a difficult situation to be in, though.
It is. Yeah. It is. I acknowledge that. But they clearly let that thing get beyond the pale. Because
not yet, for sure.
I mean,
they haven't handled it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, you know, and again, you're right. Like, there's a balance because you don't want to like just run the dude out.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to be. You don't want to try to like treat this dude like a baby. You know, but at the same time, when you don't address it successfully, the first one, two, three times, however many times it is, here's how we get to Ja Morant being on Instagram Live with a gat. I mean, you know, and here we are.
But
now.
You know what bothers me though, like as a fan, and I said this on Grind Season 2, like knowing that you had Ja doing what he was doing while you were trying to put out this angle, like we were just this squeaky clean organization and we don't touch guys because of character issues. They could have got Malik Monk, who smokes crack. They could have got...
Please. That would have been great.
I mean, like, don't act self-righous and you know...
Exactly. Yeah, you need to face your franchise is currently serving a, like, fake suspension.
Doing a bid.
Right. Whatever. Right. Bad time.
I'm just saying, man, we tried to play this. Oh, that's not a front office guy. Oh, that's got character
exactly
issues.
Exactly right.
Oh, man. You could have got that dude if you knew all this was going on.
Because you know what character issues get you? What's Jake LaRavia.
Exactly, man.
We got Jake LaRavia. Because we wanted to dodge some character issues. I want somebody that's got real demons.
Yep.
Give me the dude that's got
real... You know who I want to speak on Faith and Family Night? I want the dude who really got some real issues to deal with.
Man, what?
I don't want to see Jake LaRavia telling his testimony out there. Man.
Right. You know, the Book of Mormon.
Yeah. That was John Martin.
Yeah. Speaking. But no, on some real spill, though. Like,
he's a Mormon for real?
I don't know if he's a Mormon.
Oh, okay.
But it feels like he might be. You know, I don't know.
I doubt it.
Apologies to Mormon.
I don't think so.
I think he's just a regular.
Again, whatever denomination
he
may be.
He's a faith-based thing down there.
You know, Book of Mormon is a, you know.
What about your faith, John Martin? Where you at, man? If you die tonight, your soul going to rest with Christ?
I think probably so. Again, who decides?
You don't seem very sure.
Well,
I'm not,
a little shaky, man.
I'm not sure.
Get with Jason, man. He'll tell you how to be sure, bro.
I don't know.
Go lead that man of Christ on the earth.
Much like with Josh, same situation. Got to be willing to listen.
Well,
don't
listen, man.
Pour into him
man.
All day long.
No, I'm not out here like I'm not here on Instagram Live. Anybody want this smoke? They come get it. Type.
No,
you
so,
know.
So you righteous then?
I don't know. I mean, you what does that mean? Like, let me ask you this: is it possible to be a good person in this world and not be of faith?
Good by whose standards, John?
Absolutely.
So that's kind of I feel
double
like
teaming you, man. You
well, no, I mean I'll answer the question.
I think
I don't
still
feel
be a
like
good person.
I feel like I'm a good person, but I'd also know that I'm not like I don't walk in faith.
Right.
Know what I'm saying? Like I just don't. I mean that doesn't mean that I'm opposed to it. It's just not my personal thing, you know. But I was you know, while we're on the subject, like I'll just be totally transparent about it. I was talking about my wife really wants to start going to church. You know, like she really wants Riley to be
exposed
to. That's
the end of the discussion then, man.
And I said, exactly. I said, let's go.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Where y'all going?
I don't know.
Life Church.
No, it's like, Life Church is a good one?
Yeah, it's a good church. It's a good starter church for white people.
Yeah, I want to go somewhere where it's not like super denominational.
Yeah, go there, man. They'll make you feel at home.
Because I don't know what I am. I don't know what I feel like I am, you know?
What you mean, domination?
Like, yeah, like am I mean, I don't know, like what choices I need to leave behind to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you ain't got
to
leave number.
I've got UConn -3.5. Like, I need to be able to still be, you know what I'm saying?
No, you don't want to mix those things.
Who? You don't want to miss gambling?
What domination will allow me to still hit the Huskies?
Hey, you don't want to have a discussion with me, man, because I'm on your side and come down to that.
Are you going to be looking at the bet in the church?
Yeah, I do it all the time. What you mean?
Come on,
wow.
Bro.
Wow.
In the church? You just ask.
All right, let me ask you this.
You just ask for forgiveness.
Would a church be offended by me playing the stock market? Is that wrong?
I'm assuming not, but I'm saying, what is the priority then if you're in church?
Ooh, now you've been stumped. You've been stumped on this one.
Not stumped at all. If you're in church, you're in the four walls, the priority should be on the man that's talking.
Oh,
it shouldn't be on the damn, on the phone or on the bed or anything else is all
Smith.
I'm saying.
Amen,
but what
are
you in church for if you want to go check the stocks?
So,
and
yes.
This is not stumped.
But what if
no,
it has
no,
the sale
no,
sitting there in the church?
But John is talking about checking his bed in the church.
John is asking, can I still bet altogether?
Yeah, I'm not talking about during the sermon. I'm not, you know.
he said, can he still be a gambling man? Yeah,
no, that's the way we took it quite literally.
No, so now that we know it's not literal, address my question, please. Can I still?
I'll pull out my FanDuel to church. It's
well, now he took it there. All right.
I don't think I'm a miss heaven because I.
In my faith, if you gamble responsibly,
anything
you can be a Christian.
Exactly.
Yes.
You guys want to take it to excess, then yeah, we got a problem. But there's nothing that says, it's not in the commandments that says don't gamble.
No. Right.
You want to take it to excess, you got an issue.
There we go. Just like it's addiction.
That's where I'm at, bro.
John didn't pull out the biggest.
You and I are on the same page.
If it becomes excess.
He went in excess, yeah. He pulled out the littlest gun.
If it becomes an idol for you.
Jason is having real talk, guys.
It is in front of God. Since y'all want a breakdown of it, well, there it is right there.
Hey,
nobody coming here stumping nobody.
Jason is on point.
That's a good point. No, like, in the eyes of the Lord, that gun was very
small.
Yeah,
I don't think God really had a problem with it.
You can't play with it too much around John.
Thank you.
If you play with it too much around John, you will never get him in.
I get you,
brother.
I get
you.
You will
never pull him toward
John, we're going to have another talk off the air.
Yeah, no, I'd like it.
Like, you have to keep it logical for John if he's ever going to get up in there. Start playing with it, this dude's going to think,
John,
well, there's never any
business.
Listen to him. Listen to him.
Yeah, we can go to church together.
All right, I'm in. I mean, I would love for my daughter to have her own relationship, you know, with faith and religion and God and everything. You know, I'm not trying to tell her, you know, what she can and can't do, you know, because I'm not there.
Come on, man.
You know?
I would say that believing in something bigger than yourself is always a positive thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I think, like, I don't know, in my, like, in my most tender moments, right, like, I do sort of look to that. Like, I do, it is sort of like my, you know, not like, oh, when I'm down and out, but just like, you know, when I'm in my, in intense moments, right? When I'm in super happy moments, you know, I do feel some sense of gratitude to something that is not myself.
Right.
You know, like later tonight, like, I hope that is the UConn Huskies. -3.5.
Dude, that's you. Your, that's your idol. Money is
himself.
Your idol. We will not get to him with saying, tell him, man,
thank
come
you.
On, gamble
yeah,
in the
you know what? No. That's true because I understand what you're saying, but you may not be able to process what I really mean. Like, I totally understand what you're saying because I look at God as a father, and I think that one of the flaws of the church or the flaws of theology is that we describe God as being something that's not very fatherish.
Right. In a sense. Like who's judgmental.
Right.
And, who's...
And I think that if you understand that concept,
yeah,
you know, I think you kind of get how faith works.
Yeah.
If you look at them truly as you would look at as a father.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Everybody, their father-son situation isn't the most beautiful situation. But, you know, if you look at it in what would be the ideal parent,
yeah.
That's and I think if you ride with that, that's how I process God.
Well, and I also like I do think there are studies out there that say that children who have a you know who go to church and who have a relationship,
this is
you
what
know,
I'm telling you,
end up having a better adult life.
No, you need to do that though, like for real. If it's the type of thing, I don't think it'll hurt you at all.
Yeah, no. It's not like I'm gonna burn into flames when I walk in there or anything. You know, I'm not.
Just hold a FanDuel till you get out, man.
I would say it's just sort of distant, you know what I mean? Not diametrically opposed to, just distant. I sort of fell out of the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just,
this dude knows Bible better than me. This dude can quit. There are Bible scriptures in his head, deep in there. He can regurgitate at any point.
Yeah.
Like he knows the Bible.
I mean, I'm familiar. You know, I mean, right. I can't. Don't quiz me, but you know, I can reach in there. But, you know, I don't mind even talking
back
about
to the
it.
Point. Back to the point. Like,
hey, come on.
Because your wife has mentioned it.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
It now becomes more of an issue than just you. You know what I'm saying?
And for sure.
Your willingness or
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely.
And back to the other point, you know, keep it that way and off you. What you just said about your daughter, I've told you this before. I'm going to say it out loud, though. It's such a benefit for any kid in today's world to have whatever it is. Back to Brad's point, higher power. Because if you can fall back on that, a faith, a belief in something, as opposed to you're out here in this world of 2000.
It helps, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, my gosh, look at the kids these days on the internet and
you're
everything
exactly
they're
right.
feeling. We're
you're
seeing
exactly
suicides
right.
go up.
Yep.
If you've got something you can fall back on that can help you through those times, that's something in the toolkit that's beneficial for your child.
And I think it is powerful, right?
100%.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's powerful to be a part of something, right? To put your belief and your trust into something that you know.
Yeah, so
like,
you're not looking at it at the bottom of a bottle or anything
right.
else. That's
exactly.
what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
To be content.
Yes.
You can be content in that.
Yes.
And to tie it back to the whole John Morant thing, like, me and Jason have had this kind of conversation, too. Because of the way that we view faith and the way we view God and our place in God, under God, however you want to look at it, we look at John with a totally different grace or sympathy or love than most of society would. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
And that's when you get the people who are really cheering for him to move on and get past all this and pulling for the team. Because and like you said, like we're laughing about when you said you hope God blesses your bets or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do believe that God can use sports to bring joy to a city or to bring peace to a city or use John Morant as an example of his grace, his mercy, and his redemption, and all those type of things. So, I didn't took it somewhere else, but you get what I'm saying? I do believe those type of things are real.
Well, and that's why I appreciate this segment. I appreciate this. It's not always, you know, NIL.
Tune in next week.
NIL jokes. You know, exactly.
That's crazy. You said God used that 72-73 team to bring this shit up.
He sure did. Absolutely.
Hey, man, come on now. Tune in next week.
Tune in next week, man.
We can deep.
He knows what
faith moments. With,
that's right.
Jason and Jonathan.
Follow him on Twitter. Sane Asylum. Catch him on the Grind Season Podcast. Appreciate it, bro. We'll come back. Wrap it up. Jason and John, Artie Turner Femi, ESPN. Man, I think East Carolina threw their punch, my brother.
Yeah, y'all got too hyped too early with that.
Well, I mean, look, it was a 2-point game at the half. It is now up to 12 with 4:58 remaining. So that's a done data there. Houston will be moving on to the semis. They will most likely be playing who?
Who would they get right before? Because Memphis is going to get Tulane. Who's the other squad down there? Can we get it before we get out of here?
Cincinnati.
I'll
be most likely playing Cincinnati. Yeah. Cincinnati's
got Temple.
Yeah. So most likely Cincinnati. But it wouldn't shock me if Temple pulls it upset there. Be interesting. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Anthony Stain for joining us on the show today. Thanks, of course, to Terrence Oglesby.
You handled that well.
Yeah, I did. You know, sometimes you got to carry your team on your back, though. Solo.
Appreciate you, AD.
You know, nobody knows where Jason went. It's going to be a mystery. Gino and Jeffrey up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're going.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.